join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is By My Spirit by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
To me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We can stop right there. Let's look at Acts 1 and 8. Acts, first chapter, and verse 8. Come on, let's read that together. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then one more for good measure. Acts 2 and verse 4. And when the day of Pentecost, read it together. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place. That's starting verse 1. Come on, let's read that together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You may be seated. This is on the Christian calendar, Pentecost. It was 50 days after Passover. Pentecost is not Pentecost because the Holy Ghost came. Pentecost was Pentecost before the Holy Ghost came. That's why the Bible says in Acts, second chapter, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So it was already Pentecost. That's so important for you to understand that. Because those of us who connect with the charismatic experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, we have come to embrace this term Pentecostals, okay? But Pentecost existed before tongues showed up. Y'all with me? It was a Jewish feast day, which is why they were all together in, this is why all these various Jews from various nations, various nationalities of Jewish people, from all around the known world then, and there in the Middle East, and there from even as far as Northern Africa, they were there, and they were various dialects, various languages, and various colors, and various nationalities, people who had embraced Jehovah God as their God. And they were there for this Jewish feast day, which they would regularly come to Jerusalem to celebrate. It would be like going to Washington, D.C. on the Day of Independence. Y'all with me here? And God chose to show up on that day to manifest himself because God likes a big audience. Amen. See, some of y'all, the reason why you just have not had your miracle the way you want it to be because not enough people know about your problem yet. Not enough people know what you're going through yet. God likes a big audience. Amen. God could have just let the children of Israel out of Egypt by night, okay, and stole them away. I mean, the children of Israel out of Egypt by night. But no, he waited till the whole army got there. And then he showed himself strong. So God showed himself on the day of Pentecost, manifesting himself through the Holy Ghost, which was evidence they knew they had received the power because they spoke in tongues. Now, people say stuff today, you don't have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. But when you speak in tongues, then you know you got the Holy Ghost. Now, we should want it the way the Bible says we should get it. Amen. They knew, and even in Acts 10, Peter knew that the Holy Ghost had come to Cornelius' house, and these people got saved, and Peter shocked in Acts 10. He said, I know they got saved. I know they got filled with the Holy Ghost, because I heard them speak with tongues just like we did on the day of Pentecost. Look, somebody say, get it like they got it in the Bible. Get it like they got it. Now, connecting this, because all this is coming together, connecting this with the series Big Vision, Big Provision. And we looked at Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is now this governor of this remnant who's gone back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, because one day the king Darius gets up and says, the Lord has given me a decree, a charge, to go back and build him a house in Jerusalem. He sends Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel gets the foundation laid by the time we get to the book of Zechariah. Remember, I told you there's various prophets to get the full story. So Zechariah tells us that by the time Zechariah comes along, the foundation for this new temple has been laid. But now there have been adversaries. There have been people who tried to stop what God was doing. How do you know if God tells you to do anything, you're going to have some adversaries? You know, we use this term haters today like it's a new thing. You know, I mean, haters was all through the Bible. Amen. The first hater was the devil himself. Come on now. So when you hate, that's demonic. Come on. And so, I mean, haters, opposition, resistance, pushback, obstacles is nothing new. And so God told them to do it. And can I tell you this? One of the ways you know that God tells you to do something is if you get resistance. If you didn't get any resistance, then God didn't tell you to do it. Because anything God wants done, the devil's always going to try to stop. He's going to always try to block. He's always going to try to hinder. So when God tells you to do something, expect resistance. But know you got what it takes to push through. Know you got what it takes to make it happen. Know that you got what it takes to come out. Know that you have what it takes to get to the other side. Know that you have what it takes to make that wall come down. Know that you have what it takes to defeat that army. Know you have what it takes to make it through the wilderness. Know you have what it takes to get on the other side of the Red Sea. Whatever obstacle is before you, know that if God told you to do it, this obstacle will become eliminated. So Zerubbabel, now he's concerned that he has started a project that he couldn't finish. He was concerned he has started a project, couldn't finish. Laid the foundation, and no walls going up. Laid the foundation, no roof able to be built. Laid the foundation, no floor being made. Laid the foundation. Well, the foundation means that we got it started. Now he's concerned how he's going to be able to finish. Even Jesus said that when one starts a project and is unable to finish, it's going to cause people to mock. It'll cause people to laugh. It'll cause people to be made fun of. Jesus said in Luke 14:29, less happily, he says, no man set it out to build anything without counting up the cost. What's it going to take? The reason why I know this project is going to take $15 million because we've had some estimates. We've had the plan submitted. We had it submitted to a couple contractors. One came in 2 million more than the other one. Glory to God. That made the one that was $2 million less my friend. We know it because we started counting up the cost. And Jesus said, when you go to build, you got to count up the cost. Luke 14, 20, after you've laid the foundation, you're not able to finish it. And all that behold begin to mock. They're starting to mock Zerubbabel. You got people saying, we should have never tried this. We're being embarrassed. I've invested my money. I've given to this. I've worked for nothing. We'll never be able to complete this. And Zerubbabel had laid the foundation, but red tape, bureaucratic haters, and lack of finances was causing him to not be able to finish it. So the Lord sent the angel to the prophet Zechariah to tell Zerubbabel. Aren't y'all glad we got the Holy Ghost today? Your TV catch that. The Lord sent the angel to tell Zechariah to tell Zerubbabel, but now we got the Holy Spirit. God can talk right to us. But in this case, the Lord sent the angel to tell Zechariah the prophet, was known as seers in that day, to tell Zerubbabel that he would finish the temple. Look at somebody and say, you're going to be able to finish it. You're going to be able to finish it. Hallelujah. That's a word of encouragement for somebody. You're going to be able to finish it. The Lord told me there were going to be people here today who are concerned that you started something that you're not going to be able to finish. But the word of the Lord is you're going to be able to finish it. So he's concerned how he's going to finish it. And the word that the angel told Zechariah to tell Zerubbabel, we recorded there in Zechariah 4th chapter and verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. And that's the subject of today's message. By my spirit. By my spirit. Everybody says, by the spirit of the Lord. Zerubbabel was bold. He's courageous. God said, not going to be by your boldness. Not going to be by your courage. Zerubbabel has some ingenuity, but it's not going to be by your ingenuity. I know you got education, but God said, your education is not going to get credit for this. I know you got some connections, but your connection is not going to get credit for this. I know you're cute and everything, but your cuteness ain't going to get credit for this. Right in this section, some of y'all are real cute. God said, no. It's not by might. That is your physical ability or even the ability of a strong people, nor by power. That word power there means force. Physical force, like an army coming in and taking over. Physical force like dynamite. Physical force. Like somebody dropping a bomb. God said, none of that's going to get credit for this. It's going to be by my spirit. Hallelujah. It's going to be by my spirit. And so, God encourages Zerubbabel. You're going to get it done. But not the way you thought it was going to get done. We're going to get to 15 million. Not necessarily the way you think you're going to get to 15 million. Not by counting heads. But it's going to be by my spirit. I'll bless people who you didn't think was blessed. I'll use people you didn't think could be used. I'll send it in from unforeseen sources. People say young people ain't come to church anymore. But I met two of them the other day who are not here because their parents are here. They're here because the Spirit of the Lord brought them here. People will come from unforeseen sources and money will come from unforeseen sources that you can't trace. It's just by his spirit. I'm sure after Jesus' death, after his resurrection and his ascension, the 12 apostles of the Lamb, if 12 apostles of the Lamb, that's how we distinguish the original apostles from modern day apostles, quote unquote. They're known as the apostles of the Lamb. They felt that Jesus had started them off with something that they didn't have the capacity to finish. Peter was so discouraged about trying to go on without Jesus, he simply said, I'm going fishing. Fishing was what he knew. Fishing is what he knew he was proficient at. Fishing is what he was doing before he met Jesus. Fishing was his former occupation. In other words, Peter backslid. He said, since we're trying to go on with this, let me go back to what I know, to what's familiar to me. Jesus had attempted to give his disciples, those 12 apostles, reassurance that they were going to be all right, even after he was no longer physically with them. In John 14, 16 through 18, I'm going to look at some various translations, the original King James, John 14, 16 through 18. Jesus said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Everybody say another comforter. So that tells us Jesus was a comforter. Lord, the sea is raging. Jesus will comfort them. Lord, we don't have anything to pay, no money to pay taxes. Jesus will comfort them. Lord, my servant is sick. Jesus will comfort him by healing him. My mother-in-law is sick. Jesus will come and heal the mother-in-law. So whenever they were in distress, Jesus will comfort him. Now he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Watch this, that he may abide with you how long? Forever. I've been with you for 33 years. Y'all have been in relationship with me for 3 years, but he's going to come. He's going to abide with you forever. Verse 17 says, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Whom the world, which means you got to be born again in order to receive the Holy Spirit. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. That means it doesn't understand him, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, watch this, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He what? He dwelleth with you, but he shall be in you. He said, now he's all around you. He's observing you. He's leading you externally, but now he wants to take up residence internally. See, don't settle for the Holy Spirit being with you when he wants to be in you. Jesus made a distinction. He said he's with you, but is going to be in you. Glory to God. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, sometimes when people aren't familiar, we like to use the word Holy Spirit better than Holy Ghost because people get scared of the Holy Ghost. But I often remind y'all, he like Casper. He the friendly ghost. So he's all right. Look at your name. Say, this ghost is all right. This ghost is all right. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, interchangeable terms. He said, I'm going to come to you. So the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is Jesus coming to us, abiding in us in spirit form. Are y'all with me here? Listen to those verses from the New Living Translation. Same verses. I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to give you another advocate. Everybody say advocate. Oh, I like an advocate. You know, when I was in South Africa, they don't use the term lawyer. They use the term advocate. Advocate is one who goes before the judge, goes before to represent another. And the Bible says Jesus is an advocate. He said when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. Advocate is a go-between, a mediator, somebody who goes and represents us. He said, I'm going to give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. Ah, glory to God. And doesn't recognize him, but ye know him because he lives with you now and later going to be in you. He says with you, but he's going to be in you. Glory to God. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. The fact that we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit means that we are never alone. See, we got to change our confession. I'm all alone. I'm by myself. Now that you got the Holy Ghost. I don't have anybody to help me. Now that you got the Holy Ghost, you got the helper abiding right on the inside of you. I don't know what to do. Stop saying that. You got the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you what to do. I don't know where to go. Now that you have the Holy Spirit, he'll lead you where to go. Come on. See, you have to be conscious of his presence. Let us become more aware of your presence. That verse from the Amplified. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. And then the Amplified gives us other words for that comforter, and that advocate. A counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate. Here's one I like by a strengthener. Glory to God. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong because I got the Holy Ghost. a strengthener, a standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to his heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. I want y'all to see the big difference. When you just get born again, he is with you. But it's not enough. Jesus promised he wants to be in you. I will not leave his orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I'll come back to you. Now, Jesus had set a high bar for his disciples. He set a high bar for his disciples with even greater expectation from his disciples. He said early in John 14 and 12, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And that was enough of a challenge. He said, the same works I do, you're going to do. That's already a high standard. That's already a big bar. But then he kept on talking. And he said, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to my Father. He said, as you go on, you're going to do greater things. You're going to operate in more anointing. You'll operate in more power. Now, there's various theological explanations for this. Some said that's because Jesus was one, and now we have the whole church, and with all of us in the church, corporately, we do more. That's one way of looking at it. Corporately, because we have more resources now, more technology, we're able to do more, reach more people, etc. But Jesus said, because of the Holy Spirit in us, we shall be able to do what he did and even greater. Jesus kept trying to prepare his disciples and to raise their expectations for the Holy Spirit coming to indwell them. So we read it earlier, John 14 and 7. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. They don't know him, but you know him. He dwelleth in you, but he dwelleth with you, but he shall be in you. So in order to complete the assignment, in order to meet the standard, and do greater and even equal works, do greater or even equal works than Jesus did, the disciples would have to have what Jesus had when he did what he did. If I'm going to do what Jesus did, I need to have what he had when he did what he did. We can't do what Jesus did if we don't have what he did when he did what he did. I need what he did to do what he did. I need what he had to do what he did. So they needed the same spirit that empowered Jesus. Which brings me to a foundational truth that I always want you to understand, is that when Jesus operated in the world, in this earth realm, he did not operate as God, though he was God. He thought it not robbery. He took on the form of a man and became obedient. And he referred to himself as the Son of Man. Identifying more with his humanity than his divinity. So Jesus operated, come on, those of you who've been here a while, how? As a man anointed by the Spirit of God. Say it to me. Say, Jesus operated in the earth as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. Now, the reason why that's so foundational is because there's no way that I can do what Jesus did if I think he operated as God in the earth. If I'm going to do what he did and even come close to even attempt to do the works, to bind and to loose, and I need to understand, I got to operate like Jesus. I am a man. I'm in human form. You are a woman. You're in human form. But you can operate as a man, as a woman, anointed by the Spirit of God, so you can do what Jesus did and call those things that be not as though they were. Jesus operated as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. Well, Pastor Bailey, where do you get that from? Acts 10, verse 38. Peter is preaching at Cornelius' house, as I referred to earlier. And one of the things he says about Jesus, how God anointed Jesus. Who anointed Jesus? how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. And as a result of that, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Because what? Because God was with him. So watch this. So when I have the Holy Ghost, that's evidence that God's with me. When I get filled with the Holy Ghost, that is evidence that God is with me. God is in the form of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is as God in me. And just like Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Look at me. You and I, we can be anointed by the Holy Ghost. We can go about doing good and healing people who are oppressed, who are tormented, who are under the power of the devil, because God is with us. If I'm going to do what he did, I got to have what he had when he did what he did. And what he had was the anointing by the Holy Ghost. So it was going to be by the Spirit of the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, that the disciples could do these greater works. So the Holy Spirit is the supernatural agent of God that indwells the Christian to operate like Jesus in the earth. The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is Jesus in spirit form. Did you catch that? The Holy Ghost is Jesus in spirit form. Colossians 1:27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, here we go, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
There are ideas and plans that you may have that you have no idea on how to make happen. Some goals will not happen in your own might. It will require the Spirit of the Lord. Bishop Herbert Bailey explains, the Holy Spirit will enable you to do what you otherwise could not do. Order this powerful message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. Ask for By My Spirit.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.